Welcome to the What's Important Now broadcast. In America today, we are witnessing a cultural shift. This is the show devoted to the battle for the soul of our country. Join our host, Tom Sears, as he explains the issues of our day. And join the fight to bring values and morality back. Let's join Tom now as he shares What's Important Now.
Welcome, welcome, welcome inside of What's Important Now. I'm Tom Sears. Thanks for being here with us. Visit us at whatsimportantnowradio.com, and you can find our program on multiple platforms all around the internet. Podcast on Podpoint, Spreaker.com, iHeartRadio, Spotify, blogtalkradio.com/actionministries. And that's an important site to go to because you'll also find our weekly program, Pastor Talk, where we talk about things pertaining to the church. Well, I think we've got us a good program here today. We're going to talk about the loss of values in society. I guess we talk about that a great deal, but to be more specific, if you would take a look at the internet and search for this, you know, quote, loss of values in today's society, which I did, interesting results. But first, if you'd like to email us, whatsimportantnowradio@gmail.com, whatsimportantnowradio@gmail.com, mailing address 8901. Good Hope Pike, Loft Creek, West Virginia, 26385. Okay. So anyway, if you were to search on the internet, loss of values in today's society, you'd find a long list of various websites. And they're all asking questions, of course, some providing what they see as a solution. But for the ones that are asking questions, they're seeking an answer. They're asking why. They want to know what has happened with values in society. For instance, and this will be the focus of my discussion, livestrong.com has an article. And it's titled, "What Are the Causes of Teenagers' Lack of moral values and self-discipline?" Now, the article states that amoral behavior is a result of biological and environmental conditions. Now, I'm not necessarily going to disagree with that. But the article talks about how parents are influencing their children, influencing their teenagers, and that actually teenagers have learned their poor behavior by watching their parents make poor choices, like neglecting household responsibilities, being late for work, etc., etc. Some of the teenagers that struggle with behavior, in many cases, have never really had parental guidance. Now, I think those things are true. I do. I think there's a cause, but I think those things are true. I've talked about this a great deal, about the message that I presented one time called Training Camp, where your kids will be you in 20 years. But anyway, the article continues by examining media and peer influences. And again, I don't necessarily disagree with their assessment, but I will challenge that they're missing the mark. In today's society, we are trying to fix an open wound with a Band-Aid. And really what it needs is stitches. Well, it needs cleaned, and I don't really like to talk about that stuff because it's, well, anyway. Now let me explain. Moral values cannot be properly assessed without having a guidebook or a foundation to actually tell us what moral values are and what moral values are not. Society establishes norms. And if someone deviates outside of social norms, they could be considered amoral. Yet society continues to shift what norms are. It keeps moving. The line in the sand, so to speak, the boundaries, it's blurred. And so, because it keeps moving, and I might say in the wrong direction, society is beginning to witness, in many cases, what society has never witnessed before. And I'll back up, because I realize it's never been perfect. But I would say that things are happening on a more consistent basis, if I could say it that way. So it's shifting. I mean, think about this. Society wants teenage girls to listen to their parents. Everyone gets in an uproar when teenagers are completely and totally, you know, just defiant. Right? So society says teenage girls listen, and it's boys too, but I'm making a point. Teenage girls listen to your parents. But then society tells them to disregard their parents if they get pregnant and want an abortion. See, it's blurred. No clear-cut direction here. And so we tell our children not to break the rules, but we don't even know what the rules are. And it's because we as adults can't figure it out. We don't know what's right and wrong. We let society tell us what is right and what is wrong. And so we can't send clear messages to our youth. And then we wonder what's wrong with them. Live Strong goes through this entire thing and, you know, medical studies, scientific studies. But because we can't figure it out, we don't know what to tell our children. And again, as a result, we do scientific and medical studies. We try to figure out why teenagers don't listen. Now, although I am certain that the individuals conducting these studies or these research projects are getting paid much more than I am, I have an answer. Social norms will continue to move and continue to change as long as there is no guidebook or foundation of morality. And what I mean is, as long as there's not a standard. And I hope that makes sense. So as long as there's not a guidebook of what is right and what is wrong, we as human beings, including our children, our teenagers, will continue to do what is right in our own eyes. To thine own self be true. And so we remove the only true teacher of morality from the lives of everyday Americans, and we quickly realize something's wrong. Because you see, ladies and gentlemen, for years, the Bible was the guidebook of morality. I mean, think about it. Our founding fathers felt that the Bible was the best teacher of morality. And we live in a society today where it is disregarded as old-fashioned. It's disregarded as outdated. And again, for years, it was the guide. And that's changed. It's changed. Wow, has it changed? I mean, I just read an article of a pastor who came out and said that teaching the Ten Commandments is outdated, and that Christians today should not follow the Ten Commandments. And so then we expect, if the church doesn't take the Ten Commandments seriously, we expect society to do that? Nah, not going to happen. Because the Ten Commandments are apparently outdated. judges have ruled that the Ten Commandments have no place in a public school classroom. And so then when teenagers or children act up or act out, we wonder, what in the world is going through their heads? You've probably said that, right? Or thought that. The answer is simple. Nothing. They're confused about society's norms. They're confused, I should say, by a society that can't even figure out what's right and wrong. A society that doesn't understand what evil is. Now, you may say, wait a minute, we know what evil is. And I would ask, do we? Do we really know what evil is? Because it keeps changing. If we did know what evil was, would we sit idle while the laws of our country continue to permit that which the Bible calls evil? For instance, permit murder in the most innocent stages of life. Yet society calls it a choice, a legal right. Well, the Bible says differently. Oh, wait. I can't talk about the Bible. It's outdated. It's ancient. It's old. It's not relevant. I mean, honestly, come on, fellow Christian. Let's think about this for a moment. I mean, let's really, really think about it. The Ten Commandments, they are outdated. The Bible is outdated. I mean, think about some of the outdated ideas. Ideas like you shall not murder. It's pretty outdated. I mean, who would ever have thought in a society that we should live by that? I mean, seriously, it's outdated. Or here's another one. You know, you shall not steal. It's outdated. I mean, I really don't want to keep my possessions anyway. Someone ought to take them. Just take them. And while they're at it, I'll just take theirs. I mean, it's outdated. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the problem is that we are teaching a younger generation that these precious, precious commandments are outdated, that they're not relevant. And so the lines of what is evil and good, well, they're blurred. The Bible says that in the last days, they'll call good evil and evil good. Ladies and gentlemen, open your eyes to see that's happening today. And it's not just from society, it's from the church. Outdated, ancient. Well, to that I will say this. If we want our children and our teenagers to once again understand what's right and what's wrong, then we need to teach them what's right and what's wrong. And it can't be just what we think, because most human beings are going to think differently. There needs to be a precise, consistent teacher. I believe that precise teacher is the Bible. If we could get it back into our homes, apparently into our churches, and back into public life, and once again begin to teach people that no, it's not a good thing to harm other people. It's not a good thing to envy other people. It's not a good thing to lie. It's not a good thing to tear people down. It's not a good thing to steal. It's not a good thing to kill. If we could teach those basic principles and to love God with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, and to love our neighbors as ourselves, on those, Jesus said, are the entire commandments, actually the prophets, the word, right there, all tied up there. And so, if we want our children to not be so confused about what right and wrong is, we as a society should wake up and not be confused about what right and wrong is. You're listening to What's Important Now. When we come back, our American hero in Christ. Stay tuned. Hey guys, it's Tom, and during the break, I want to give you some basics in American history as we continue to provide American history without any twist, just present it as it is. We simply want to present the facts. Today, I want to talk to you about the communist rule for revolution. Now, you may say, well, what does that have to do with American history? Well, sit back and listen, and I think you'll see. The following information that I'm going to provide is from Christians in the Political Arena. It was written by Vernon McClellan. In 1919, after World War I, the Allied forces in Europe captured a copy of a secret document entitled Communist Rules for Revolution. Here are some excerpts. Number one, corrupt the young, get them away from religion, get them interested in sex, make them superficial, destroy their toughness. Number two, control the media, all means of communications and publicity. Number three, get people's minds off of their government, focusing their attention on athletics, sexy books, and trivialities. Number four, divide the people into hostile groups against each other by constantly harping on controversial matters of no importance. Number five, destroy people's faith in their national leaders by holding them up for contempt, ridicule, and distrust. Number six, always preach democracy, but seize power as fast and as ruthless as possible. Number seven, encourage civil disorder and foster a soft and lenient attitude on the part of the government, law, and courts towards such disorder. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a list from the Communist Rules for Revolution. That was their plan for success. Of those 7 points, how many of them sound familiar? As you scan the landscape of what's happening in America today, anything sound familiar to you? And so what does it have to do with American history? It's a good question, isn't it? This has been Basics in American History.
Welcome to the What's Important Now program. We are fighting for the soul of America and tackling the tough topics. Now let's join your host, international evangelist and veteran radio host, Tom Sears.
And welcome back inside of What's Important Now. It's time for our American hero in Christ. Today's American hero in Christ is George Washington. Such being the impressions under which I have, in obedience to the public summons, repaired to the present station, it would be peculiarly improper to omit in this first official act my fervent supplications to that almighty being who rules over the universe, who presides in the Council of Nations, and whose providential aids can supply every human defect, that his benediction may consecrate to the liberties and happiness of the people of the United States every step by which they have advanced to the character of an independent nation seems to have been distinguished by some token of providential agency. That's from President George Washington's inaugural address, dated April 30th, 1789, and it was addressed to both houses of Congress. Again, those words are important. This man, the founder of our nation, was born on February 22, 1732, in Westmoreland County, Virginia. He was, without a doubt, a gentleman, trained up in morals and manners. In 1754, he was commissioned a lieutenant colonel, and he fought in some skirmishes that eventually grew into the French and Indian War. The following year, he escaped death as 2 horses were shot out from under him and 4 bullets were shot through his coat. At the outbreak of the American Revolution, George Washington tried to mind his own affairs as he had married a widow and was dedicated to his family life. But after the British merchants menaced him, and with regulations like they had other planters, he decided enough is enough. According to WhiteHouse.gov, when the Second Continental Congress assembled in Philadelphia in May 1775, Washington, one of the Virginia delegates, was elected Commander-in-Chief of the Continental Army. And on July 3, 1775, at Cambridge, Massachusetts, he took command of his ill-trained troops and embarked upon a war that was to last 6 grueling years. He realized early that the best strategy was to harass the British. He reported to Congress, "We should on all occasions avoid a general action or put anything to the risk, unless compelled by a necessity into which we ought never to be drawn." Ensuing battles saw him fall back slowly, then strike unexpectedly. Finally, in 1781, with the aid of French allies, he forced the surrender of Cornwallis at Yorktown. Washington longed to retire to his fields at Mount Vernon, but he soon realized that the nation under its Articles of Confederation was not functioning well, so he became a prime mover in the steps leading to the Constitutional Convention at Philadelphia in 1787. When the new Constitution was ratified, the Electoral College unanimously elected Washington as president. George Washington dedicated his life to the founding of this nation and served his country as its father. Sadly, on December 14, 1799, in Mount Vernon, at the age of 67, the original founding father died. This American hero in Christ believed that God alone deserved praise and honor for the founding of this great nation, and that can be seen through his journals, his writings, and his speeches. As we celebrate George Washington as our American hero in Christ, let's look back on his words. "It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible," said September 17, 1796. Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. And let us indulge with caution the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. Reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail to the exclusion of religious principle. He went on to say, "The smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and right which heaven itself has ordained." George Washington, our American hero in Christ. Now, as we move into our final segment, That's a Fact, I thought it was fitting to take a look at another founding father, because he is the centerpiece of a controversy on the separation of church and state. When you think about society trying to figure out where, or why, I should say, that teenagers and youth are no longer behaving, or they're no longer obeying their parents or adults, well, I think this, That's a Fact, definitely is very fitting for our program today, because again, society tells us that there is to be a wall of separation between church and state. And although Thomas Jefferson said that, it was taken completely and totally out of context. Now, the thing is, the more I study Thomas Jefferson and I learn what his beliefs were, I come across this article. It was titled Notes on the State of Virginia. It was written in 1784, and in it he passionately defends freedom of religion. What did he believe? Now, I'm not going to say I'm an expert on his writings. I can only apply common sense, practical understanding, and so let's take a look at what he said, and you can do the same. Common sense and practical understanding. "The spirit of the times may alter, will alter. Our rulers will become corrupt. Our persecutor and better men be his victims. It can never be too often repeated that the time for fixing every essential right on a legal basis is while our rulers are honest and ourselves united. From the conclusion of this war, we shall be going downhill. It will not then be necessary to resort every moment to the people for support. They will be forgotten, therefore, and their hearts disregarded. They will forget themselves, but in the sole faculty of making money, and will never think of uniting to effect a due respect for their rights. The shackles, therefore, which shall not be knocked off at the conclusion of this war, will remain on us long, will be made heavier and heavier to our rights, shall revive or expire in a convulsion. Thomas Jefferson was explaining how important it was to fix all legal problems concerning freedom of religion and all the things that would face our nation while leaders were honest and while honest leaders led. He warned of corruption. He warned of forgetfulness. And he was right, because the truth is we have forgotten the lessons of history. The problem with that is that we have never really encountered the bondage or shackles that Thomas Jefferson is talking about. And because we have never seen them before, we're not clearly seeing the warning signs that would lead up to them today. Thomas Jefferson did not believe that any religion should be pushed on anyone. He believed that every person should have a right and a freedom to believe what they want and worship and serve who they want. But Thomas Jefferson was wise enough to know that without establishing laws to protect the freedom of religion, in his words, quote, rulers would become corrupt or people careless, end of quote. And that's exactly what's happened today. Our founding fathers tried to make the path for success evident. Whether they were Christian or simply God-fearing like Thomas Jefferson, they knew that religion had to be protected. And if you read the writings of Thomas Jefferson, you'll find clearly that he believed the church was a huge part of society's success. He never endorsed this so-called separation of church and state as we see it today. Instead, he supported the state protecting the church. Not just one denomination, all denominations. Because he believed like God believes. We should want to serve him, and it is our choice to do so. So the next time the separation of church and state comes up, you're going to know a little more. Thomas Jefferson knew that if something wasn't done to protect the freedom of religion, we would turn into a society, a godless society. If we kicked the Bible out, we kicked morality out. If we kicked Christianity out, we kicked Christ out, and society would pay the ultimate price. He was right, and that's a fact. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm out of time. I hope you've enjoyed our program today. Make sure you stay tuned for more as we continue to encourage you to fight the good fight of faith, to contend for the faith. There is a cause. It does matter, and it is important now. An absolute honor to be here with you again. You can write us at 8901 Good Hope Pike, Lost Creek, West Virginia, 26385. Our email address, whatsimportantnowradio@gmail.com. Visit us online at whatsimportantnowradio.com and the vast platforms that we're on online through our podcast. Thanks for being here. Until next week, I'm Tom Sears. Well, I guess I'll be Tom Sears again next week, but this has been What's Important Now. God bless. Take care.